Welcome to Durst Notes on Divorce Law with Robert J. Durst, shareholder and chair of Stark & Stark's Divorce Law Group. The Durst Notes podcast series is designed to give you an overview of the several most common areas of divorce law, enabling you to better understand your divorce and the law.
Hello, my name is Robert J. Durst. I am a shareholder in the law firm of Stark & Stark. We have offices in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, Marlton, New Jersey, and Newtown, Pennsylvania, in which we have a fully competent staff of divorce attorneys. I have been a divorce attorney for over 40 years and currently coordinate all of the firm's divorce practice. Several months ago, I did a 10-part podcast entitled An Owner's Manual for Your Divorce. That manual is posted on New Jersey Law Blog and also on our firm's website, www.stark-stark.com. The owner's manual does not discuss divorce law. It describes the process of going through a divorce from the initial conversations with your spouse to post-divorce follow-up issues. As a result of the many inquiries I received from those of you who listened to or read the owner's manual, I realized that there is a need for a simple, easily read, and easily understood description of divorce law. I have therefore created this new 9-part series, which I have titled Durst Notes on Divorce Law. Durst Notes is designed to give you a brief, overall, and understandable explanation of the several most common areas of divorce law. It is my hope that by reading both the owner's manual and Durst Notes, you will have a good general understanding of not only the process but the substance of divorce law. Remember that these broadcasts and publications are not legal advice. They cannot be used as a substitute for legal advice, and they should only be used together with competent legal advice from a qualified divorce attorney. So let's begin with the first section, custody of the children. There are, of course, cases in which one of the parents has abandoned their parental responsibilities, unfortunately suffers from various addictions, suffers from a mental or emotional condition, or are otherwise unfit to assume either physical or legal custody of their children. In such cases, the specific facts must be carefully analyzed. Under those circumstances, one of the parties may have limited parental rights, supervised visitation, or a parenting coordinator may be utilized. Supervised visitation means that the person cannot be in the presence of their child without appropriate adult supervision. A parenting coordinator is utilized to facilitate decision-making when the parents themselves cannot do so. These alternatives should only be used when absolutely necessary and only as solutions of last resort. Absent such extenuating circumstances, New Jersey law regarding custody of children can be summarized in one very simple statement. The arrangement must be one that is in the best interests of the child. Notice that the operative words are in the best interests of the child, not necessarily the best interests of either or both parents. Any parenting arrangement must address two specific areas, physical custody and legal custody. Physical custody is the determination of where the child will reside, how many days they will spend with one parent, how many with the other, how they will split their weekends, holidays, and vacation periods. Legal custody involves decision making. Decisions such as elective medical care, religious training, schooling, extracurricular activities, and the like are the typical discretionary decisions which make up legal custody. In order to determine what parenting arrangement is in fact in the best interests of the children, the court must apply specific statutory criteria. Those criteria include the parent's ability to agree and communicate, the parent's willingness to accept custody of the child, any unwillingness of either parent to allow contact with the other parent, the relationship between the child and the parent, any history of domestic violence, the preferences of the child, the needs of the child, the stability of the home environment of the parents, the quality and continuation of the child's education, the fitness or unfitness of the parents, the geographic proximity between the parents' home, and the extent and quality of time which each parent spent with the child prior to the divorce. The court also has to consider each parent's employment responsibilities, the age and the number of the children, and the parenting responsibilities that would be attendant or relevant given the age and number of the children. The primary objective should always be to maintain a continuing relationship between each parent and each child. The court will attempt to craft a custody arrangement whereby each of the parents will enjoy meaningful parenting time and both will continue to participate in the decision-making regarding the child. In almost every instance in which a parent does not have time with their child or does not participate in the decision-making, it is the parent's own doing, not the courts, the lawyers, or the law. There are hundreds of books discussing the impact of divorce upon children, and the theories are just about as numerous as the books themselves. However, there is one common theme in almost all of the literature. That theme is that the greater the conflict between the parents, the more negative the impact of the divorce will be upon the children. There is some behavior that should be avoided at all costs. There is no question between any of the experts, the courts, or lawyers that this type of behavior works only to the disadvantage of the children. Such behavior includes criticizing your spouse in the presence of the children, seeking to make your child an ally or a confidant in the divorce, involving your child in the decision-making in the divorce, or using your spouse as an excuse for your own shortcomings. If you are unhappy, frustrated, depressed, seek competent counseling. Do not continue to tell your child that your life would be better or their life would be better if it was not for your spouse. And most of all, avoid any verbal or physical confrontation in the presence of your children. If you follow some of these simple rules, the likelihood is that your child will survive the divorce as well as can be expected.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's installment of the Divorce Law Podcast. And be sure to join us next week for another informative discussion with Robert Durst. Stark & Stark is a full-service law firm with offices throughout New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. For more information on the services the firm provides, visit us online at stark-stark.com.